لا أريد سواه، هل في الوجود خالق إلا هو؟ الله ربي لا أريد سواه، هل في الوجود خالق إلا هو؟ الله ربي لا أريد سواه، هل في الوجود خالق إلا هو؟ فالشمس والقمر من أنوار حكمته، والبحر والأرض خير من عطاياه. فالشمس والقمر من أنوار حكمته، والبحر والأرض خير من عطاياه. لا أريد سواه، هل في الوجود خالق إلا.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن يسلم وجهه إلى الله وهو محسن فقد استمسك بالعروة الوثقى، وإلى الله عاقبة الأمور. ومن كفر فلا يحزنك كفره، إلينا مرجعهم فننبئهم بما عملوا، إن الله عليم بذات الصدور. نمتعهم قليلا ثم نضطرهم إلى عذاب غليظ. ولئن سألتهم من خلق السماوات والأرض ليقولن الله، قل الحمد لله، بل أكثرهم لا يعلمون. لله ما في السماوات والأرض، إن الله هو الغني الحميد. ولو أن ما في الأرض من شجرة أقلام، والبحر يمده من بعده سبعة أبحر ما نفدت كلمات الله، إن الله عزيز حكيم. ما خلقكم ولا بعثكم إلا كنفس واحدة، إن الله سميع بصير. ألم تر أن الله يولج الليل في النهار ويولج النهار في الليل، وسخر الشمس والقمر كل يجري إلى أجل مسمى، وأن الله بما تعملون خبير. ذلك بأن الله هو الحق، وأن ما يدعون من دونه الباطل، وأن الله هو العلي الكبير. We're going through Surah Luqman, and today inshallah we're going to start from ayah number 22. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يُسْلِمْ وَجْهَهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى. There are a few subjects that are going to be discussed, one after the other. So inshallah, we'll take them one at a time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the previous verses that we completed last time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about the disbelievers and their false belief and all of the things that they had adopted from their forefathers, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those things were false. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what is the definition of a true Muslim? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يُسْلِمْ وَجْهَهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Whoever turns his face, or whoever submits his face to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The word used is yuslim, and from that same word is the word Muslim, the one who submits himself. Okay, so the one who submits his face to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And is it only the face? The ruling in Arabic is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or in Arabic in general, if you use a term in which is very, very important in the body, for example, the head or the face, etc., then the whole body is actually meant by that. Okay? So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَمَنْ يُسْلِمْ وَجْهَهُ, whoever submits his face to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it actually then means whoever submits himself completely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from this is the same ruling that, for example, if a person says to his wife, طَلَّقْتُ رَأْسَكِ, I gave talaq to your head. Okay? I divorced your head. So that talaq would count. Why? Because you cannot have a body without a head. Okay, so if he meant the head only, it doesn't count, because it means basically the rest of the body also. So whoever submits his face to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means whoever submitted himself completely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُوَ مُحْسِن. While he was a muhsin, while he was in the state of ihsan. And we've covered before already, what is the definition of ihsan? One definition is, أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِن لَمْ تَكُن تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكُ. That you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you see him, and if you do not see him or you cannot imagine seeing him, then at least imagine that he is seeing you. Okay, so that's one. And ihsan also means to beautify. It means to perfect. Okay, so perfecting himself, perfecting his deen, perfecting his religion, perfecting his character, all of these things, all of these meanings can be taken here. So what about him? That person who submitted himself, what about him? فَقَدْ اِسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى. He has grasped a firm handhold. He has grasped something very, very firm. It is not something which is going to move. Okay, so you can take it as an example. For example, he has, you know, he's hanging on a cliff, on the edge of a cliff. And if a person at the edge of a cliff, he's hanging, he wants to grab something which is very solid, something that's not going to move. Okay, something that has a good foundation. Because if you grasp at a branch or something and that is loose, then you're going to fall. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving that example to make us understand that Islam is the thing that is a firm handhold, nothing else. Other than that, everything is weak and it has no basis. And you've probably seen, you know, whenever you have these dialogues and you have interfaith get-togethers and stuff, and people talk about their religion and their perspective on their faith, etc. I don't know about you, but to me it seems like there's nothing there. It's all hollow underneath. Everything is wishy-washy. Okay? So in Islam, Islam is not like that. Islam is firm, it is complete, it is solid, and it has a solid foundation. So this is what it means. فَقَدْ اِسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى. Then that person has grasped a very firm handhold. وَإِلَى اللَّهِ عَاقِبَةُ الْأُمُورِ. And only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be the outcome of all things. So what it means is that whatever we see in this world, everything is going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there will be a day of judgment, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ultimately decide and judge as to who was right and who was wrong. And again, the wording is ilallahi aqibatul umur. Ilallah has been put forward at the front, so that gives emphasis that only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be the outcome of all events. Okay, we're not heading anywhere else. Okay, we're only heading in one direction. We're heading towards our death. We are heading towards the day of judgment. We're not going backwards, we're going forward. So only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we're going. Okay, so the outcome will be decided and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be the final judge. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and says, وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ كُفْرُهُ. Whoever is disbelieving, O Prophet of Allah, then his kufr, his disbelief, should not upset you. Of course, the Prophet ﷺ was always worried about people getting success of the hereafter and saving themselves from the hellfire. He was worried about this at all times, to a point where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to sometimes tell him that calm down. And there are verses in the Quran that indicate this. لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعُ نَفْسَكَ أَلَّا يَكُونُ مُؤْمِنِينَ. O Prophet of Allah, maybe you're going to destroy yourself because these people are not accepting Iman. They're not becoming Muslim. لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعُ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِلْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. O Prophet of Allah, maybe you're going to destroy yourselves in following their footsteps out of sorrow because they do not have Iman. So throughout the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes consoles the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he sees people heading towards their destruction. So here he says, وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ كُفْرُ. Whoever does kufr, then his kufr, his disbelief should not upset you, O Prophet of Allah. إِلَيْنَا مَرْجِعُهُمْ. Only to us is their return. فَنُنَبِّئُهُمْ بِمَا عَمِلُوا. And we will inform them of everything that they did. Meaning, informing them means that he will punish them for not believing when they had been given the truth. They've been given what is right, what is wrong, black and white, and halal and haram, and then they did not accept it, then obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish them for it. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's fully aware of everything that is in the hearts of the people, in the chests of the people, meaning whatever they're thinking, whatever their belief is, outwardly, even if they profess iman, if they profess friendship, but internally, they are hiding enmity towards you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of that. نُمَتِّعُهُمْ قَلِيلًا. We will benefit them for a while. So we will see, and this question always comes up in a lot of people's minds, how come these non-Muslims, they get everything in this world? They get everything in this world. They have the riches and they have the cars, and their countries, the non-Muslim countries, are the richest in the world, and they have the best economies. Why is that? This, the answer is, نُمَتِّعُهُمْ قَلِيلًا. We will benefit them for a while. While they're in this life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them and recompense them for whatever good they did. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rewarding them in this world, and they have nothing in the hereafter. But us, we get rewarded in the hereafter for our good deeds. So maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could give us worldly things in this world. Maybe He won't. There is no guarantee. But it's more likely you'll see non-Muslims that they will have the worldly benefits. And more unlikely that you will see the Muslims getting that. Okay, so Allah says, نُمَتِّعُهُمْ قَلِيلًا. قَلِيلًا, it will be for a short time. How long can a person benefit? 60, 70, 80, maximum 100 years. After that, they have to leave. But the success of the hereafter, it is eternal and everlasting and never ending. Okay, so that's what we should be striving for. So Allah says, نُمَتِّعُهُمْ قَلِيلًا. We will benefit them for a while. ثُمَّ نَطَّرُهُمْ إِلَىٰ عَذَابٍ غَلِيظٍ. Then we will force them into a very severe punishment. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again addresses the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and says, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. If you were to ask them, O Prophet of Allah, who created the heavens and the earth, then most certainly they would say Allah. Okay, so this was the actual belief of the kuffar of Quraysh. They were not actually disbelievers. They didn't disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were actually mushrikeen. They believed in a higher power. They believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then they worshipped all of these other statues around them. And they said that we worship them to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى. We worship them so that they could get us close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they believed in Allah. So Allah is addressing the Prophet and says, if you ask them, O Prophet of Allah, who created the heavens and the earth, most certainly they would say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them. قُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. Tell them, then all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What that means is that you are not praising Him, you are worshipping Lat, Uzza, Manat, all of these idols, whereas the praise, the real praise, should be only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this Alif Lam over here, it's called Alif Lam of Istighraq. Okay, it's a very, Arabic is a very powerful language. And even the Alif Lam that you get at the beginning of nouns, it is loosely translated as the. Okay, but it has a much deeper meaning than that. Sometimes this Alif Lam, it is called Alif Lam of Istighraq. And what it means is that whatever noun it comes upon, whatever noun it's included, it means all forms of that are inclusive of that. So for example, we have in Surah Al-Asr, وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. Indeed, the humanity is in loss. Okay, so in English you translate it as the humanity. But this Alif Lam, it's Lam for Istighraq, so the real translation should be the entire humanity, all of humanity. Even though the word all is not there, it's not mentioned, but it is assumed because of that powerful meaning of Alif Lam. Okay, so here, قُلْ أَلْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. Tell them, O Prophet of Allah, that all praise is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It should be for Allah, not for the other statues that you're worshipping. So Allah says after that, بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. In fact, the majority of them, they do not know. They do not understand this, and they will continue to commit the shirk that they are doing. لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is whatever is in the heavens and in the earth. Meaning everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدِ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is al-ghani, He is the one who is carefree, and He is the one who is praiseworthy. And we've already talked before about the word ghani. It became before in this surah, so I won't do that again. So, but here also you look, it could have been like this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدِ. But هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدِ, it puts more emphasis on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, Allah, He is the ghani. He is the carefree, the one who doesn't need anything. And Al-Hamid, He is the praiseworthy. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ أَنَّمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنْ شَجَرَةٍ أَقْلَامٍ وَالْبَحْرُ يَمُدُّهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ سَبْعَةُ أَبْحُرٍ مَا نَفِدَتْ كَلِمَاتُ اللَّهِ. If everything on the earth from the trees was turned into pens, all the trees were chopped down and you made pens out of them. وَالْبَحْرُ يَمُدُّهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ سَبْعَةُ أَبْحُرٍ. And the oceans, after that, there were seven more oceans and they were turned into ink. Okay, مَا نَفِدَتْ كَلِمَاتُ اللَّهِ. The words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would not be finished. Meaning you could write and write and write and write and write, yet the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not be completed. That's how powerful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is Aziz, He is the Almighty, and He is Hakim, He is the Wise. مَا خَلْقُكُمْ وَلَا بَعْثُكُمْ إِلَّا كَنَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ بَصِيرٌ. Your creation and your resurrection, it's just like one soul. Meaning, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can create one soul and He can give death to that one soul, He can resurrect the one soul, everybody else He can do the same thing for. Okay, it's just like a prototype of anything that you make. Okay, you have a prototype and you give it to a factory, probably in China somewhere. Okay, and they would take that prototype and then they would make it, and each and everything after that is created based upon the first prototype, it is going to be exactly the same. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created the human prototype in Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And then after that, every single human being that came after that, that was based upon the same model. Okay? So the creation of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was simple for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The taking away of Adam and giving him death was simple. And then resurrecting him on the Day of Judgment is simple. So it is the same for all of humanity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the equivalent power to do the same for everybody else also. So Allah says, مَا خَلْقُكُمْ وَلَا بَعْثُكُمْ إِلَّا كَنَفْسٍ وَاحِدًا. Your creation and your resurrection afterwards, it's just like one soul. Meaning, it's the same for every single person. إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ بَصِيرٌ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is Sami', He is all-hearing, and He is Basir, meaning He is all-seeing. أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُولِجُ اللَّيْلَ فِي النَّهَارِ وَيُولِجُ النَّهَارَ فِي اللَّيْلِ وَسَخَّرَ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرِ. Do you not see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He enters the night into the day, and He enters the day into the night. وَسَخَّرَ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرِ. And He created, or He gave for us the moon and the sun. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the day coming in and then the night coming in. So it's not like that all of a sudden you have the day and then it's just like a switch is turned off and it becomes dark. That's not what happens. And the same thing in the morning. It's not like that you have darkness and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just switches the light on and it becomes dark again. It becomes light again. That's not how it happens. It happens gradually. So the word used is yulij. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He enters the night into the day, and he enters the day into the night. Okay, so basically it's just like entering into a house, you gradually enter into the house. Okay, so similarly, the night gradually enters and the day gradually enters. Okay, so that's what happens. And he made the sun and the moon for us, and kullu yajri ila ajalin musamma, and all of these things, the night and the day, the moon and the sun, they are all going to a fixed time. Everything has a fixed time. Okay, so you can make a timetable for the sunrise and the sunset. You can make a timetable for the beginning of the new moon and the ending of the moon. Okay, and you can use that, and everything is going to be completely accurate to a millisecond. That's how accurate we can make it nowadays. But why can we make it accurate? Because the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so accurate. Okay, if there was like a deficiency in the timing of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we would not be able to calculate. We would not be able to make the timetables. We would not be able to calculate the sunrise and the sunset. It is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation is so perfect in every manner, in every respect, we can do this, the same thing. This is what Allah is saying. Kullu yajri ila ajalin musamma. All of these things are going on their fixed time or allocated time. Wa anna Allah bima ta'amaluna khabir. And indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever you are doing, He is aware of it. So, look at this huge universe. He is fully aware of the sun and its rising and setting, the moon and its different phases, okay, the planets that are circulating, the stars that are circulating, and the huge universe. It is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He knows every single thing that is going on. Do you not know? Do you not think that He knows what you are doing? Of course He knows what we are doing. So this is what the connection is. Wa anna Allaha bima ta'maluna khabir. And indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is fully aware of whatever you are doing. Dhalika bi anna Allaha huwa al-haq wa anna ma yad'una min dunihi al-batil. That is because Allah, He is the truth. Again, the huwa has been brought again in the middle of the sentence, and it is basically for stressing the what this sentence is trying to say, that Allah is the truth. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ, it could have been ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ حَقْ, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ حَقْ, but ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقْ. That is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the truth. He is the truth. So more emphasis has been put in by using the word huwa. وَأَنَّ مَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ الْبَاطِلِ, and whatever they're calling other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is batil. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't use the word huwa, because there is no strength in the batil. Batil is something that is, like I said earlier, wishy-washy. There is no basis to it. There's no foundation to it. Okay? وَأَنَّمَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ الْبَاطِلِ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْكَبِيرِ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the Almighty, Al-Ali, meaning the highest, and the strongest, and Al-Kabir, He is the greatest. Inshallah, we're going to stop there, and inshallah we will finish this surah next week. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard.
لا أريد سواه هل في الوجود خالق إلا هو الله ربي لا أريد سواه هل في الوجود خالق إلا هو الله ربي لا أريد سواه